It's another episode of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather.
Welcome. We're glad that you're here today. The Bible Talks is a show that discusses deep theology in a simple way.
So if you're interested in studying the Bible, but you don't consider yourself a theologian, then this is a show for you.
You can find this and previous episodes on our iTunes podcast or at KVXL 101.1 Experience Liberty Radio.
We're Josh and Heather Tice. We minister to and lead Southern Hills Baptist Church in Las Vegas.
All right. We always like to get started with a little bit of fun. So Heather,
I'm ready.
So this is episode number 26.
Yes.
Okay. What are we doing for this episode?
Well, for this episode, we're going to be talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We're just going to get started with it because this will be a couple of episodes.
Okay, but we're going to start with a little bit of fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. And I would like to start out by welcoming one of our new listeners.
So I
just met Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
In person, face to face. And she told me that before meeting us, she had actually been listening to the podcast.
Fantastic. And now, where does she live?
She lives in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And she is awesome because she told me, she said that she is not a person that just laughs at everything. She's more serious, but she says that she laughs and laughs at the Bible Talks. So thanks for laughing with us, Barbara. We're so glad that you joined us.
Barbara, we're going to try our best to make you chuckle a little bit even today. And I've prepared a few jokes, a little bit of a monologue for you, Barbara. And we're going to throw your name in there every now and then, because you are one of our three listeners now. So
yes.
We're so glad.
We're still at three. No.
Right. Well, we lost Mom.
Yeah.
She doesn't listen to us anymore. I said something maybe that offended. I'm just kidding. Hey, Mom, how you doing? I know you're listening.
You know, it's kind of funny because we're starting off with this thing about this is fun and we laugh a lot. And today's opening question is actually one of the more serious ones. So I'm sorry, Barbara, and everyone else. No, it could be funny.
What is it?
Okay, it could be funny, but we'll see.
Okay.
It is, what is the biggest mistake you feel your parents made when raising you?
Biggest mistake? Well, here's the thing.
I don't write these, by the way. I don't write these. I've written a few of them, but most of them are collected and compiled from
the
Pinterest.
Internet?
And yes.
The internet is determining. Okay, fantastic. Well, the internet is infallible and flawless. So, biggest mistake that my parents made growing up was not making it more clear to the other children that I was their favorite. this is now everybody knows now, right?
Yes.
Now that they're all grown, they look back with clarity and they see. Well, yes, Joshua was the favorite, but they should have mentioned it more often as they were growing up. So that would be the biggest mistake my parents made. By the way, you're asking yourself right now, because I see the way you're looking. You're saying, Josh, tell us something real. And here's why I will not. Because my parents listen to this, and they're young enough to be interested in this. And so...
Whoa. Were you just throwing down on my family?
Well, first of all, your father is 112.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, how old is your father?
My father is 79. He'll be 80
79.
In December.
And does he listen to this on a regular basis?
Not unless I send him the CDs.
So there you go. And so,
well, my brother does. And Chris, I know you are offended with me. Thank you.
Right. And Martha is in heaven.
Yes.
And so my parents.
Listening probably.
And probably
that
listening.
Great cloud of witnesses.
But here's the thing. She'll listen and she won't hold it against us because she's in heaven.
Yes.
If I said something negative about, well, first of all, I can't find anything negative about parenting, my parents and parenting. So, but if I did, and I made up something negative, well, I would hear about it. So,
okay, well, I'm going to say
something. The worst thing my parents did was not make it clear that I was
the best. I'm going to say something that is real.
Okay.
And that my parents would actually agree with.
Really?
And Chris is going to be just shouting hallelujah when he hears this.
Right.
Okay, so I was slightly spoiled growing up.
Oh, my word.
I'm not with material things. My parents were very balanced in that. They were so just the best parents in the world. But I look back and I realize they could have maybe had me do more work around the farm and things than I did.
Are you kidding me? You were spoiled?
Yes.
Stop it. I don't believe this.
So I look back and praise the Lord, he has grown somewhat of a work ethic in me. But I do think, okay, yeah. And I'm doing some of the same thing with some of my children. You're definitely the better parent in this area than I am. But I want them to just have fun and be kids, and I mean, and learn I want some them to get
all the house done and clean, yes, and clean up their rooms, and serve me dinner.
Yeah,
that's not true. I don't. So do that
I, yeah, I look back and think I probably should have learned how to garden, you know, while being there, or
yeah.
I don't know, maybe even a little bit more about taking care of the animals.
Yeah. Right, because that would have been healthy, or applicable in the life that you have now, gardening and caring for
know.
The goats.
I just look back and think, wow.
But you're talking about work ethic as a whole.
Yes, right. But I just.
But
had
you've
a very
got an incredibly great work ethic. Where does that come from?
I think just temperament, and then the
Lord's and watching your father and mother. They
yes,
were both.
They
hard
set
workers.
The example for
yeah,
sure.
That's for sure.
So,
well, all right.
I guess that's my critique, but they would agree with it. My whole family would be like, yeah, she really didn't have to do as much at home.
And just to close this out, I would want to say, mother, father, if you're listening, you are the most perfect parents who never made a mistake. And clearly your fruit of your womb, the fruit of the loom is still
the fruit of the loom
is still growing buds of joy and fruitfulness through your son. Joshua Tice, I'm sorry about the other four. Speaking of the Holy Spirit.
There's no way to transition this one. It is what it is.
Is that not the best segue?
Oh,
speaking of the Holy Spirit. No, so far in our podcast, we've covered theology, of course. We've covered just some fun topics. But in our theological discussions, we've covered theology proper, study of God the Father, Christology, the study of Jesus Christ. Now we're moving into pneumatology. The
yes.
study of the Holy Spirit. So
there's
what exactly
a fancy
are we
new
here?
Word to wow your friends at your next dinner party.
Ooh.
Throw that one out. Pneumatology.
Pneumatology.
In my studies of pneumatology, when speaking of pneumatology.
If you do that at a dinner party, you'll be asked to leave.
So what does pneumatology mean?
Okay, pneumatology Josh? Means the study of the Holy Spirit. That's the idea. So pneumatology, pneuma, which is the Greek word for spirit, logos, meaning doctrine. Okay, so this is the study of or the doctrine of the spirit. So that's what we're talking about. This is
I
the
can
third
never remember if it's logos or logos. How do you remember that?
How do you remember it? You say it any way you want and then act with confidence. That's what you do.
No, it's for real. Like, you know the right pronunciation,
logos.
Right?
Logos.
Logos? How do you remember that?
Because the same O is the same O at the end. There's no
logos.
There's no emphasis.
Oh, so there's no O in the Greek?
Right.
No logos?
Yeah, there is. The omega is the O sound. And the
logos.
Right, yeah.
Logos. Sounds like Legolas.
You know, I'm not a Greek scholar, and I've got friends probably listening to this saying that what I just said was wrong. So let's move on.
Okay. So all that to say, pneumatology is study of the Holy Spirit.
Correct. And so the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, we've got to understand, we call him the third person of the Trinity. And we'll talk more about this in a moment, but that doesn't mean he's any less important than God the Father, God the Son. It's not third in importance. It's third in discussion. This is the third person we often discuss in Christian theology. So first of all, we have to understand primarily that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force, right? This is not Star Wars, that there is a force that drives us and a force that flows through us and all the universe. This is an actual person. And to understand his personhood is incredibly important to the discussion, first and foremost.
So some of that confusion with the idea that the Spirit is a force may come from another fascination, if you will, or maybe a boring thing, if you will, from the Greek. It is the translator's use of the word it. For the Spirit, because the Spirit in the Greek language is a neutral gender. So if you've studied languages at all, a lot of languages will give a gender to a word. Like if you think of Spanish, this blew my mind when I began to learn Spanish in high school, that an object that is, you know, sexless, if you will, has a gender article with it.
Right.
So, you know, it is, now I can't think of anyone. La biblioteca, I think is feminine.
Right.
For library.
For the library.
Okay.
Right.
So, and we do that a little bit in English, don't we? Like with ships and things like that.
I'm going to sail on the cruise. And
she
was
a mighty fine sailing ship.
Mighty ship. Right. We do the same thing. But when it comes to the gender in the Greek for the Holy Spirit, it's genderless, right? So that's the idea. It's neutral.
So that can be confusing. But we see that he is a person. And I'll say he using the English. I don't know. What was that rule that we use that? I don't know what the rule is, but there's a rule way back when, before it was politically correct, that it was he. Okay, moving on. So we see that he is a person, and it's shown, and one of the ways it's shown is by the names of the Holy Spirit.
Right, the names of the Holy Spirit are all throughout the New Testament. First of all, you have Comforter, the idea that he is the one who is called alongside us to comfort us. Now, the word in the Greek, again, we keep going to the Greek here, is paraclete. Now, some of you think I said parakeet. I did not. It's paraclete. It means the one who comes alongside, the comforter. It's very much like a lawyer. It's like the person who walks into the room when the cops have caught you and the judge is going to put a sentence upon you and your family believes the worst of you, then the attorney, the defense attorney, comes in. He looks you in the eye. He puts his arm around you and says, I believe in you. I am there for you. Even
That's
if
funny.
You're guilty, I am there for
this.
You.
And it's the last thing I would have thought of with the word comforter. I could have told you the Holy Spirit's our comforter. When the comforter has come, Jesus says. But I never thought of it in that respect, that the Holy Spirit, I think of Jesus in that role.
Right.
You know, but I hadn't thought about the Holy Spirit in that role.
Well, and Jesus is that, right? Jesus is very comforting to us. And we spoke of this a few weeks ago. The problem is with Jesus being in the physical form of Jesus Christ, he can only be in one place with one group of people at one time. How can he put his arm around everyone in the world? The answer is he doesn't. Some might people say, no, that's not true. Jesus embraces me every day. No, he doesn't. The Son does not embrace you. The Son is sitting upon the right hand of the throne of God. It is not correct to say this Jesus is in my heart, or Jesus is embracing me, or the reality is it's the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I must go away, because if I go not away, I will not be able to send him unto you. Who is him? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, John chapter 14. When he comes, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. So the Holy Spirit brings the words of Jesus to our hearts, and it comforts us like a like an attorney who stands with you when no one else will, and he brings that comfort.
Now, my favorite name for the Holy Spirit is that he's our guide. You know, there's a book I read, and it's about the Holy Spirit, and it's called The Forgotten God. And
yes.
I love that aspect, because I think so often we don't realize the power that we have in this gift of really the Holy Spirit with us.
Yes.
And this is one of the things that he does, and that you, I guarantee you, if you're a Christian and you've grown at all, even just a little in your faith, that you've experienced this. It comes from John 16:13. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, then he shall speak. What this is talking about is that moment when you're in a service, and I tell this to new Christians all the time, when you hear my husband, your pastor, preaching, and he shares something that just makes the word come alive, or it hits home, and it's so just personally applicable to your life.
Yeah. Yes.
That's not Josh Tice, as good as a man as he is.
Right, or whoever your pastor is.
Yes, it is the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit of God.
Guiding you in that truth. When you're reading in a book.
Now, we misunderstand that often, right? The Holy Spirit often doesn't get credit for what the Holy Spirit does. So it is the Holy Spirit in our hearts bringing us comfort, but Jesus gets the credit.
Right.
It is the Holy Spirit who guides us into truth, but the pastor gets the credit.
Or the author of that Christian book that's discussing that truth, and the scripture's read, and you think it's that author pulling it out. No.
And this is the beauty of the Holy Spirit.
Them.
The Holy Spirit doesn't need the attention. He is the one who is pushing the attention to Jesus. Mm. In fact, the Bible says, when the Spirit of truth has come, what is his goal? He will testify of me, Jesus says in John chapter 15. The role of the Holy Spirit is not to bring attention to himself. The role of the Holy Spirit is to bring attention to the death of Jesus Christ and to draw men unto the Savior. And that is a beautifully selfless aspect of the third person of the Trinity.
Also, we see that he is our intercessor.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit intercedes. That means he pleads for us during our prayer time. Romans chapter 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he is a searcher of the hearts, knowing what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8. So what is this saying? There are times where we get on our knees and we're just so overwhelmed by the world and the flesh and the devil, and we don't know what to say or what to do. And the Holy Spirit of God comes, and not only does he put his arm around us and comfort us, but then he intercedes in that prayer. He goes from you to the Father, And he says, God, this is what they need.
I love that.
Even when you don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit can pray on your behalf to God the Father.
You know, I think there's a second aspect to that. I've always thought about that part of when I don't know what to pray and I'm just hurting God. You just answer this need, meet this need. But I think there's a second aspect. I think the second aspect, it says, when we know not what we should pray as we ought, I think there's times that we're praying for the wrong thing.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit says,
nope, not
this
that.
Is what she's asking for. But here's what she really is seeking. This right. is what she needs.
Right. Here she is. Here he is begging you for a girlfriend, begging you for a wife. But what he really needs, Lord, is he needs more of Jesus. And Lord, just give him more of yourself. I love that. So we see the personality of the Holy Spirit is shown by his names, but also the personality of the Holy Spirit is shown by his characteristics. Now, when we talk about, like, what do you mean his characteristics? Just like any other person, the Holy Spirit has specific characteristics. He has a will. He has a mind. He has knowledge. He has speech ability. He has sensibilities. Let's talk about a few of these.
Okay. So, for he has a will, we would go to 1 Corinthians 12:11. The same self-same Spirit is dividing to every man severally as he will.
Right. So how could the Holy Spirit not be a person if he has a will? This shows his personhood. He also has a mind. Romans chapter 8. He that searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. So here again, he is a person. The Holy Spirit shall teach you all things. He has knowledge. Therefore, again, he is a spirit. According to Acts chapter 28, spake the Holy Spirit of Isaiah the prophet. He can speak. All of these things show the personhood of the Holy Spirit. Now, why are we making such a big deal? Here's why. Because historically, there have been heresies that have taught that the Holy Spirit is not an actual person. This is called, are you ready for a big theological word?
Oh, yeah.
All right, modalism. Say modalism.
I thought it was modalism.
No, it's
modulism.
No, it's modalism.
Like logos, logos.
No. Modalism. Modalism is a false theology relating to the doctrine of the Trinity. That is, you've heard it many times. Maybe you've heard modalism, again, a heresy that was debunked in the 3rd century. And that is, there is one God, and he only expresses himself in singular ways. So this one God, sometimes he's the Father, and he's on the throne. Sometimes he's Jesus, and sometimes he's the Holy Spirit. It's the way it's illustrated is like saying, look, I'm one person, Josh, but to you, I am the husband, and to my children, I am the father, and to the people in our church, I'm the pastor, but there's only one. Well, that's actually heresy. That's not the way the Trinity is described. The Trinity is not just one person who expresses himself in different ways. The Trinity is one God, but three distinct and separate persons. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is not just the Spirit of the Father or the Spirit of Jesus. He is his own person, and we know he's his own person because he has a mind, he has a will, he has knowledge, he has speech ability. All of these things show that.
And another thing that shows his personhood that kind of goes in this category that I think is so important to talk about because it really is applicable to our lives as Christians is the fact that, for lack of a better word, I really don't like this term, but he has sensibilities. You could almost say feelings, or
feelings.
Sensibilities is a better word, I guess.
I think feelings is really good because the idea here is, what about the Holy Spirit? He himself can be grieved. This proves his personhood. He can feel bad about things. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 that we can grieve the Holy Spirit of God through our sin. Mm. Now, how can you make a non-personified force feel bad? You can't. This is an actual person.
Mm. And we're going to get into this, but these are the ways when we talk about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us, to work through us.
Yeah.
This is our part, okay, in what we do or don't do that gives the Holy Spirit that freedom. Okay, God does not force himself upon anyone. You've heard it said, God's a gentleman. Well, the Holy Spirit as well. He wants to use us. He wants to. I know fill is not the correct term. We always say that. Lord, let me be filled with your Spirit. This idea is, Lord, I want you to be in control. Well, if we're keeping sin in our life and the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, this is wrong, you need to take care of this, then we are grieving him and keeping him from working our lives by that sin. The other thing is he can be lied to by the Christian. Now, he knows the truth because he's God, but we see that in Acts with old Sapphira And what's her husband's name?
Ananias.
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
Yep.
They lie. So, okay, so throughout this entire thing, we're talking about how we know that the Holy Spirit is a person because of his sensibilities. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. He can be quenched, the Bible says. He can be resisted.
Oh, you got to talk about quenched. I know you want to get through this, but you got to talk about quenched.
Okay, what do you mean?
Okay, so quenched is the other aspect, the flip side of grieved, okay? Quenched is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:19,
quenched
not the Spirit.
We grieve the Holy Spirit when we have sin in our life that we're unwilling to confess.
Right. And I believe quenching the Holy Spirit, you almost get the idea of putting out a fire. It's where the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do something, prompting us to obedience, and we won't follow through with that.
Yeah.
So
it's really a sin of omission.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So God is saying to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us in a little bit. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, you need to A, B, and C, and you don't, you're pouring water on the fire of the Holy Spirit, and you're quenching him. He can be resisted. He can be blasphemed. He can be insulted. This is the idea. If all of these things are the case, this makes him a person. But there's another aspect of the personality of the Holy Spirit, and it is shown not only by his names, not only by his characteristics, but by his abilities. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit can teach. The Bible says the Holy Spirit can guide.
Yes.
Again, this is really repetitive from what we said before, but he commissions, he sends sends believers into the world and to preach the gospel. He intercedes, he commands, he restrains, he loves. All of these things show us the power of the Holy Spirit and his abilities, therefore his personhood.
The Holy Spirit is God, though, just as much as he's your own person. This goes back into the discussion of the Trinity. He is God. We can see this in the divine names. The Spirit is called God, okay? Going back to Ananias and Sapphira, when they lie to the Holy Spirit, Peter says, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Now, this is a very important aspect, because so many times we think that there is some sort of hierarchy among the Trinity. God the Father is the boss. God the Son is kind of like the second in command. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. He's kind of the servant to go do stuff. That's really not the way it works. They are co-equal in power, co-equal in glory, co-equal in every aspect. And so they are God, each and every one. They just are not the one another. So, yes, Holy Spirit is God, but the Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Father is God, but the Father is not the Son. The Son is God, but the Son is not the Holy Spirit. That is the Trinity.
Now, not only is he named as God in the scripture, but just as we talked about the study of God, those attributes that we named of God that are only for God, that humans can't have, those same ones are attributed to the Holy Spirit throughout scripture.
Right.
For example, we see he is eternal.
Yes.
That's in Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience.
He is omniscient. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
And then we also see he is omnipotent. You can see this in Job. It says, by his Spirit he garnished the heavens, he hath formed the crooked serpent. You can see it in Luke. The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee.
He is omnipresent, which means whether I have in Psalm number 139 talks about where can I go away from the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is there. He is holy. It's often forgotten that his name contains one of the most important attributes of God. He is God. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Mm. And so God is a God that is holy.
And he is truth. The Spirit beareth witness, and the Spirit is truth in 1 John 5:6.
So these are the things that we see, that we know that the Holy Spirit not only is our comforter, our guide, he is God himself.
All right, so let's take a look as we kind of wrap up this portion on the Holy Spirit at what the Holy Spirit's work has been in the past and in the present.
Right, this is where this lesson gets very practical. How does the Holy Spirit... really do his thing? What is the role of the Holy Spirit? If the role of the Father is what it is, if the role of the Son is to come and die for the sins of mankind and to make intercession on behalf of the believer, what is the role of the Holy Spirit even now? So let's talk about what his role was historically.
Now, this, I would think, would bring into question the idea of modalism. Now, I'm not sure how it works. Or is it modalism?
Modalism.
Modalism. I'm so saying this all wrong. Okay, modalism.
I think you've got it right. I think modalism is...
Oh, you're so cruel to me.
Sounds correct.
Okay, modalism. Oh, I can't say it. Say that word.
Modalism.
Okay, with modalism.
Modal. Lizzo. This is like that part of the Bible where what was it? The Israelites tricked those people by saying,
"Oh, Shibboleth or whatever."
Shibboleth. Say Shibboleth. You're from the South, so you have a problem with modalism.
Okay, so with say modalism,
Shibboleth.
It's a concept. Kill him. It's a concept that.
That's a great story. We should do an entire episode on that story. That story is hilarious because, you know, people die.
Yeah.
And because there are people with speech impediments. Okay, this is sounding like really messed up.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Back to what I was saying here with modalism.
Modalism.
Modalism. Okay, with that thing.
Let's say it together, audience, wherever you are, in your car, as you're running, in the gym, in your house while you're doing some chores, say it with me, modalism. Go ahead.
Modalism.
One more time. Modalism.
Modalism.
Am I coming across as misogynistic right now?
I don't want
to
say.
I like to pronounce it majogynistic.
This is just hateful. Oh my goodness. See, this is life. Life with Josh.
Am I mansplaining? I just learned the
just
word.
Mansplain.
I learned the word mansplain.
Yes.
Do you know what mansplain is? Do you want me to explain it to you?
See, I think we're done with this podcast. We could just turn it off right now.
No, I think we have to get into the actual good part of the podcast.
Right,
the good content's coming.
Yes, we're getting into the rubber meets the road. So with that belief that God is only in one mode.
Yes.
Or another.
Modalism.
Is that belief, do most of them believe that, okay, God was God at creation through the Old Testament, and then he turned
exactly.
into Jesus in
he
the New Testament.
He turns into Jesus.
And then he becomes Holy Spirit in, right. you know, what we call the church age. Well, this part that we're talking about, the fact that you can see the Holy Spirit's work even in the past
exactly.
would defeat that false belief. So,
exactly. Such as in creation.
Yes. So we see all of the Godhead was present in creation. In fact, you'll see a plural term that the Lord uses when he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In Genesis 1:2, you see the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water.
God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness.
I just said that.
Yeah, but I wasn't paying attention. But it's exact. But your point is, right? It wasn't just God the Father who created all things. God
right.
the Father, according to the book of John, God the Son, and here the
I mean,
Holy
you see
Spirit.
In Psalms and Job, there's references over and over to the Spirit.
Right. Job 26
God
says,
by
his Spirit hath he garnished the heavens, and the hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Some would say, oh, that's just poetic form of saying that God the Father did all this. No. The Bible's very clear whenever it speaks, and it wouldn't speak unless it was attempting to be clear. So, I believe very clearly, yeah, the Holy Spirit was present and active during creation, but not only during creation. The Holy Spirit has always been present and active during the inspiration of Scripture.
Mm. So we believe that the Bible was written down, God's Word,
right.
God-breathed, inspired, that's what that means,
right?
Through approximately 40 men of God over a period of 1,500 years.
So you think about that, 40 different men over 1,500 years. And it creates a book that is perfect in balance, without contradiction, mm-hmm. and flows beautifully. Why? Because they were not the authors. There was one author. The Holy Spirit of God spake, and these men wrote down what the Holy Spirit spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, we get mm-hmm. that passage specifically from 2 Peter chapter 1. The way we receive the prophecy of old time mm-hmm. was not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
And you'll see that all throughout the New Testament. Mark 12:36 is quoting a passage in Psalms that says, for David himself said, by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And then it quotes it. Another one in Acts, it says, the scripture needs to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost has by the mouth of David spake. Another one in Acts again, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet to our fathers. So he was definitely part of the
right.
inspiration of Scripture.
Right. And so we believe the Holy Spirit actually is the main contributor to Scripture. He is the one who we believe it is his words that are breathed out on the book. Now, some people will have an aspect. They'll say, well, wait a second. Are you talking about like mechanical dictation, that is the Holy Spirit is basically the author and these people just wrote down what they wrote like a secretary would take a letter? The answer is, in some ways, yeah, we kind of hold to that view, but the idea of mechanical dictation in that the secretary didn't speak into it at all is a little false. And when we talk about bibliology or the study of Scripture later, we'll discuss more about this. But yeah, we believe that the Holy Spirit gave the word through these men. But these men definitely spoke into their own writings and their own experiences and their own personalities come out into that. We'll talk more about that. But we believe the Bible was written by the Holy Spirit.
Well, I think, can we talk just a little bit about it right now? Because
sure.
The best illustration I ever heard of that was in college.
Yeah.
Do you remember where I'm going with this?
Talking about the instruments.
Yes. I love that. Our pastor in college brought up a musician.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the music instructors at the school, very, I was going to say fluent. Can you be fluent in different instruments?
I do not believe you can.
He had so much music ability, he could play many different instruments. And he was music people are just going to hate this because he was a brass, I think that's what you say, a brass player.
Right. He played brass instruments.
Yes.
He was brassy.
Yes. So anyway, Pastor Shetler had him play a song
right.
with one instrument
right.
and then play the same notes, the same song with the same breath from the same man
right.
in a different instrument.
Right.
And
so he went from the
trombone,
different sound. He went to the trumpet, he then went on to the bass, the tuba. And it was amazing how different it sounded, even though it came from the same breath. In
yes.
the same way, we look at the four Gospels, let's say Matthew, Mark, mm-hmm. Luke, and John, and say, okay, if it was really written by the Holy Spirit and God just told each of these men what to write down, then why does it sound so differently? Mm-hmm. And the answer is because God used different instruments to get across the same message. Yes. And so you have the flavor of Matthew. You have the flavor of Mark. You have the flavor of Luke and of John. And so the Scripture holds on to the flavor of the instrument that was used to write, but it's all still the words of the Holy Spirit.
So where we end today is with the last bit of the Holy Spirit's work that we see in the past.
Right.
This is one of my favorite things when I read this a few years ago.
Yeah, this is
powerful. Was where you see God empower his servants to do what they are gifted in doing. And it's not always what you'd expect. So in the Old Testament, you'll see that in Exodus 31, it says, I have called by name, this name cracks me up, Bezaleel.
Bezaleel. That's the way I say it.
Bezaleel.
Right.
It's not Beetlejuice.
No.
Or Beelzebub.
Don't say it three times.
Yeah, so it's Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of
Bezaleel.
Hur, and the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God.
Right.
What's interesting is he's a craftsman, and he... in fact, you're told later, is crafted in all manner of workmanship. God says again he's going to be filled with the Spirit of God to devise curious works for the tabernacle, to work in gold, silver, and brass, and the cutting stones. And I love this. And God's even put in his heart and empowered him to teach others that craftsmanship.
Yeah.
So I love this. I've shared this with ladies as we're preparing for a banquet or a lays event. I just shared this with some of the workers. I said, I'm praying this for you. I hope you realize that you are serving God and God's Spirit can empower you to do these things that you're gifted in. We want it not to just be something that we create or something that we do out of our own power and might, but something that the Lord, for his glory, can use.
Well, sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit only works in the New Testament era and in the church, and he was just kind of hiding out in heaven for a while until Jesus died on the cross. That's not true. So the Holy Spirit comes in and fills and comes upon specific people throughout the Old Testament time. And we're only told of a few. We suppose it's happened to many people. But definitely Bezaleel is one of them. The Holy Spirit comes upon him and empowers him to be a craftsman who helps actually build the tabernacle, an incredible thing. He's not the only one. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit empowered Gideon in Judges chapter 6, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and God used Gideon, even with his inadequacies, to help lead the people into freedom. So this is something that we see that God does, that the Holy Spirit does.
And then Samson. The next time we do a villains podcast, Samson is on my list for villains part two.
You know what?
Because
I'm kind
it's
of
so
on page
interesting.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting because he is filled with the Spirit on at least four different occasions
right.
in the Scripture.
And almost one of the most filled people with the Spirit. And God just used him. Why? Because it wasn't Samson's power that accomplished great things. It was the Holy Spirit's power that came upon Samson. But you can see this over and over in his story. You can find his story in the book of Judges, chapter 16, 17 and 18, I believe. But not only that, one of our favorite heroes of the Bible, and we love him very dearly, and that is David. David was empowered by the Holy Spirit.
I believe it's David.
David? Actually, I think you might be right in the Hebrew. Then the Bible talks about the fact when Samuel anointed David, that the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. forward. Mm. And so, yeah, we see the Spirit of God at work in the life of individuals in the past. And they were able to accomplish things they could not do in and of their own strength, power, but they could, being empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so today we have laid the foundation in the study of pneumatology, okay? The study of the Holy Spirit.
Pneumatology.
But we're going to talk, not next podcast, but in a podcast coming up, we're going to pick up with this study and talk about what the Holy Spirit does today.
Yeah, that'll be a great
even
one.
Get into the gifts of the Spirit.
This it's foundation exciting. That was laid is incredibly important before you get to the next one on the Holy Spirit. So if you can't wait, it's going to be a couple podcasts down the road. Mm-hmm. It is coming. Maybe if you're listening to these, you know, months or years from now, you can just jump right to it. But that one's going to be fascinating because it's going to be very practical. How does the Holy Spirit work in my life today? Now, hey, before we go, I've got to give a shout out. We have had 4 new people since our last podcast. 4 people not only give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, but also
Ooh.
A review. And
nice.
So I'm going to read the 2 of them, and then the next podcast I'll read 2 more. So a shout out to MJ Donahoe, who writes, 5 stars. I look forward every week to listening to the Bible talks. I have learned a lot. Josh and Heather make it fun and informative.
Aww,
I recommend
thanks,
everyone checking out, and you will love it. And we love you too, MJ, and we're thankful that you were able to rate and review this podcast. The next one comes from McCabell 761.
I believe it's McCable.
And this individual writes, thanks for the podcast. My family and I recently binged nearly 10 episodes on a recent road trip. We laughed,
cool.
discussed the topics right along with you. It made the drive so much more enjoyable. I've loved getting more familiar with your ministry and pray God continues to use you. Well, thank you so much, McCabell 761. You are fantastic. They call this a great conversation starter.
Oh, that's awesome. So, and that's what we hope. I think if there's anything that could come from this, I hope it would be that conversations about the Bible would be happening.
In families, among husbands
yes.
and wives, and with children, on and on. In fact, my poor children, I make them listen to this podcast on the way home from school sometimes. And they're like, but you're right here. Shut up, kid. Listen to the podcast.
But we want to thank all of you for listening today. This has been episode 26 of the Bible Talks with Josh and Heather. On the next episode, we are going to be sharing with you, it's kind of a personal Bible application.
Yeah.
And it's Bible verses that we actually pray in our prayer list.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that podcast. That'll be coming out next week. Now, let me just say, one thing that you could do for us is you could do exactly what we just saw. You can rate and review this podcast. If you go back and rate and review on iTunes, give us 5 stars, let us know what you think about the podcast. And here's the reality. When you do that, more people can find this podcast and they can be encouraged and go
Very
on road
good.
Trips yeah. themselves.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for listening. Remember, when the Bible talks,
we better listen.